I want to speak this morning about the peace of God. Okay, so the peace of God, because as we were singing about earlier, the peace of God, it passes all understanding. And there's a little verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So the peace of God, it guards our hearts and minds. But, you know, in these days, we go through life's issues and struggles, and we can feel the pressure on our hearts and our minds. And I believe that's one of the issues that we face in these days. But God promises to keep or guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And that's why we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have that focus on him. It's good for us to gather together in God's house and meet with other people with the same mind and same heart as us, because that helps to keep our hearts and our minds. Way back in the dark ages, as we talk about, the troops might have come and chopped off your head for believing in Jesus. But in our civilized Western world, our enemy's tactics today is to attack our hearts and our minds. I know other brothers and sisters in the Lord across the world today, they are suffering physically for their faith. And, you know, they suffer at the hands of the enemies of the gospel because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, we do live in a day and an age where the enemy is attacking our hearts and minds. And I'm sure you've all had that experience. I'm sure as you look back through your life's journey, you can experience times when you felt your heart failing because of the issues of life. And you needed that encouragement and you needed that help from the Lord. And there's many times, you know, when issues come into our life and it affects our thinking. And we hear people talking all the time nowadays about the epidemic of mental health issues and all that includes and all the complexity of that as well. And so this wonderful verse, it brings us back again to Jesus and helps us remember that, you know, he is there to help guard our hearts and our minds, to keep our hearts and our minds with his peace. So it's happening, isn't it? It's happening to others around us. It's happening to us, God's people. We're in that battle, okay? We're in that battle in life. Many of us, if not all of us, have had the experience for ourselves of our heart failing within us. And, you know, our heart is the thing that drives us. Our heart is the thing that gives us desire. Our heart is the thing that gives us passion. And, you know, if we've no drive or passion or desire in life, our life just fades away and we don't seem to have any purpose anymore. So we need to have that heart after things in life. You know, the athlete, if the athlete has no heart, then they'll lose the race. If the team has no heart, if the team somehow has lost heart, then their opponents will win in the game or whatever they're playing in the sport. So in things of life, we need heart. And for living for God, we need to have a heart. We need to have that passion after the things of God. If we lose heart, it's like we were singing about earlier, it's like the wind goes out of our sails, isn't it? And we've nothing to push us forward, and we've nothing to drive us forward, and we've no passion left to keep us going forward. We need to have that wind in our sails. But you know, really, it's God's Holy Spirit is the wind, and he's still blowing and he's still moving. It's us, we have dropped the sail. And we're not catching the wind anymore because we've lost heart. And so we need to encourage ourselves this morning. We need to, again, refresh our heart. And we need to turn back again to Jesus so that we know he is there to lead us and to guide us and to give us that drive forward and that passion for the things that he has for us to do. Because we've all experienced a heartache. And perhaps there's many here today as well have experienced a broken heart. And you know, when we experience heartache or a broken heart, it is painful. There's no one can deny that. If you've lived through that experience, it is a painful thing. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is there to come and heal the brokenhearted. He's come to heal the broken. He's the great healer. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. Maybe that's your experience in your life's journey just now. Maybe you can understand what that means to be brokenhearted. Well, he's there to heal the brokenhearted. I know sometimes Jesus can come, and I've seen it happen. He can heal instantly, and he heals a broken heart. But more often than not, it's a process that he begins, a healing process in our lives, and he takes us on a journey. And when we're going through the journey, we don't really see the benefits of it. But after the journey has finished and we look back on it, we can see the benefits of the journey that he takes us on. And we can see, as we look back very often, that God was healing us through many different circumstances. And life sometimes can just be like stepping on a landmine, and suddenly our heart is shattered in many pieces. But you know, God is the great healer, and Jesus comes and he gathers up all those broken pieces and he starts to put it all back together again. And you know, I wonder, did Ezekiel experience this? Did he experience it in his own life? Or maybe he experienced it in the life of others, because in Ezekiel 36 he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And when he looked at God's handiwork, when he looked at the work that God could do in healing a heart and putting together all those broken pieces, he called it a new heart, because God's work is a perfect work. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're going through the experience of God mending a broken heart. And some days you can feel God making the changes, and you know that he's working, and it can be painful. And you feel him taking things out, the shrapnel left over from the landmine. He's taking the bits out, and he's fixing things, and he's removing things he knows shouldn't be there. And sometimes you can feel him at work. But you know, he's in that process. He's with you, and he is helping you, and he's bringing you through, and he's making you even better again. At the end of the process, he gives us a new heart and a new spirit. And the heart and the spirit are connected. The heart and the spirit are connected. In this verse, it reminds us that they are in the same process, or the same thing. And without God's Holy Spirit, we can't have that proper heart after God. We need God's Holy Spirit to be there working in our heart and helping us through the painful process of repairing the broken heart. He gives us a new heart. He makes all things new. He makes us a new creation. You know, when we find Jesus as our Savior, he changes us and he makes us new, and we enter into that process of being changed by God. And there's many changes have to take place in our life, and we have to realize that we're not perfect, that he has a work to do in us, and he keeps making us new and making a new thing from us and our heart, and he makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. And we need to allow him to work in our heart. We need to allow him to make us whole again. We need to allow him to work on those painful places in our heart, because sometimes the temptation is to shut him out and to turn away from God and to turn away from Jesus, because the process is painful. But we've been singing this morning, haven't we, about a good, good Father. And, you know, the Lord works all things together for our good. Sometimes it's hard for us to take that whole verse in. But for those of us who love God today, he's working those things out in our life for good. He's working them out for good. And he is a good, good Father. And, you know, we need to pray today that God will heal the brokenhearted. He will help us through those difficult journeys in our life, and he will help lead us and guide us as we go through that process of God healing our heart. A heart is where our passion lies. The Bible tells us that where our treasure is, there is our heart also. Your heart will go after the things that your passion goes after. It's the same, isn't it? It's one and the same, and that's where our heart will be. And we need to have that heart after Jesus today. We need to have that heart that's following hard after him. So the Lord comes to guard our hearts and our minds. And our mind can be a very complex thing as well. I suppose the mind is a wee bit like our compass, where the heart drives us and gives us passion and helps us to, you know, go forward and gives us purpose. The mind is there to sort of like be our compass or our map. It's the thinking part of us, isn't it? And we hear a lot today about guarding the mind, and It's probably because we live in such a busy world, and no doubt it's to do with the fact that our lives are so crammed full of things. Not always good things, but sometimes they're necessary things, and it's so hard to know what's necessary and what's just extra that we could leave out. And our lives are so busy, and we're so bombarded with information and things all of the time that it drives our mind astray sometimes. And you know, it's a very complex thing. There's medical issues, there's clinical things. It's a really complex thing, the mind. And it's something that's very fragile as well. But you know, the verse we've been thinking of this morning helps remind us that Jesus is able and willing to guard and to keep our mind. There's no simple solution to this, but we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to walk after Jesus because he will help us in keeping our mind. He's there to help us and give us direction. If you were looking to find somewhere and you had a faulty compass, you'd be going in the wrong direction. And that's what sometimes happens when our mind isn't working. It thinks the wrong way. And what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. And maybe you've had that experience in life where your mind isn't thinking the way it's supposed to be thinking. But when you're in that mindset, when you're in that frame of mind, when you're in that way of thinking, you don't think you're wrong, but you're thinking right. And it's so confused sometimes. Our mind can get that way. How we need God to help us keep our mind set on him. Our mind needs to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ to keep ourselves right. Because without that, we're lost. We're like lost with someone with a faulty compass and a map that's inside out. Our mind can be a very fragile and a complex thing. And so we need to be careful to focus on Jesus, because he can keep and guard our minds. You know, when your mind is like that, when your mind is going after its own direction, we don't even think straight. And from my experience, we actually try to avoid the things we know will help us. Isn't that true? And we even maybe avoid the people that we know will help us. And we avoid the people that we know would give us the right advice, and we stay clear of that because our mind is thinking the wrong way around, and it's thinking back to front, and where we should be going after happiness in our mind, we sort of are happy to be sad, and it just doesn't make any sense. And so we need to be really careful to guard our mind in Christ Jesus. And that's why we need to be there for each other. That's why it's so important to gather together as a family of God. That's why we need to be strong for each other. And church is a family, as Daryl often reminds us. How important that is, that church is like a family where we meet together with other people, God's people, of the same heart and the same mind. And that's one of the most important things we can do to keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We can look out for each other, and we can get those around us who will help us. And you know, the funny thing about it is this, that the person you help today will one day be the person that helps you, because that's how family works. And you know, we should be out looking out for others and encouraging each other. We should be encouraging each other in the Lord and looking out for each other. And it'll come around to you one day as well, and that same person will encourage you in return in the Lord. There's a lovely verse in Romans 12, verse 2. And, you know, we've often mentioned it in church. Daryl has mentioned this verse many times, but it's such an important verse. And it says, do not be conformed to this world. And, of course, there's a whole message in that in itself. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And, you know, there's so many things in this verse, but that one word, renewal, encourages me so much, that when your mind is in turmoil and when the enemy has captured your thoughts and your mind and you're not thinking straight anymore, it is possible, isn't it, to have a renewal of mind. And it is possible to know God's work in your heart and in your mind. And he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. He can renew our thinking. He can give us straight thinking again. He can renew our mind. What an encouragement there is in those little words, renewal of our mind. And maybe that's what you need today. I pray that God will come and renew your mind and just straighten out those thoughts that the enemy has brought in, because the enemy is out to put the wrong thoughts in our head. And I think several months ago, Daryl was speaking about the lies of the enemy and how if they come at us so much, we start to believe them and we start to picture them as truth in our life, in our mind, in our heart. And that's how the enemy works. And so the book of Ephesians talks about the armor and the helmet of salvation to protect our mind, because our enemy is coming against us all of the time and he wants to attack our mind and our thinking and our thoughts. But we come to the Lord and he gives us that new mind. He renews our mind. And the helmet of salvation reminds us, of course, that we are a child of God. And that lovely song we sing so often, that the words are, I am a child of God. And even saying those words out over your life can be such an encouragement. Even saying those words, speaking those words out loud in your heart or out loud with your lips, can be such an encouragement, because it reminds us that we belong to God. And if we belong to God, then he is on our side, and who can be against us? And what a clarity to the mind that brings when we can declare out today, I am a child of God. I have his salvation bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved. And you know, that brings such comfort to the mind, doesn't it? To be safe. There's nothing worries us more than whether we're going to be safe or not. Whether our valuables are going to be safe, or our house is going to be safe, whether our kids are going to be safe. All of that worries us. But to know that we are safe in the arms of Jesus, that we're safe in his hands, what an encouragement that is. What a reassurance that is. And how that lifts our mind and helps us to know that ultimately we are safe in the hands of Jesus. He keeps us, he keeps our hearts, and he keeps our minds. We're grounded on the rock, Christ Jesus. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior, you're safe. You're safe for all eternity. You've nothing really to worry about ultimately. You've nothing really to be anxious of. Although we worry in life and we think of many things, but you know, ultimately we are safe in the rock, Christ Jesus. And so when the devil comes with thoughts that would distract you from that, when the devil comes with thoughts that would just tear you apart in life, we can remind ourselves that we are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. And we have to filter our thoughts. We have to enter into the process of knowing which thoughts are coming from the enemy and knowing which thoughts are good thoughts from our good, good Father. And when we filter out those thoughts from the enemy, it'll help us keep our mind and guard our hearts in these days when the enemy is attacking our hearts and our minds. Thankfully, we're able to talk about it more openly today. That's a good thing. When we hear it talked about on the news and stuff, and people are more open and willing to talk about these things, that is a good thing and something to be thankful for. But we have to be wise to the moves of the enemy and filter out those thoughts that will bring us down, those negative things that will bring us captive, and listen to what God has to say to us and hear God's voice, hear the Father's voice. Jessica was going out from the corner, going to kids' church, and I was turning around to say to her, come on, time to go. And she says to me, are you not listening to my daddy? But it spoke to my heart, you know, because I just thought, you know, this morning, could I encourage you to listen to my dad's voice? Because that's what Jessica was wanting me to do, right? Listen to her dad's voice. And how important it is for us today to listen to our dad's voice. Listen to our Father's voice. We've got a good, good Father. And he wants to speak to us. And he wants us to hear his voice. The problem is, of course, the thoughts and the noise and the activity of life just drowned out his voice so many times. Because very often he comes in a still, small voice. And when the noise is all around us, and when life's getting so busy, it just chokes out the still small voice of God. And we have to get that time each day when we hear his voice, and we have to listen to his voice, because the temptation is to just fill our minds with so many other things and we don't even hear our dad's voice. Listen to our father's voice today. Listen to a good, good father who wants to speak to our hearts, because he wants to keep our hearts. He wants to protect our hearts. One of the other parts of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness. It sits over the heart and protects the heart, because we need our hearts and we need our minds working together as one if we want to fulfill our purpose in life. God has a purpose for us, a plan for us, and we need our hearts and our minds following after him. The Bible says that worry weighs a person down, right? But encouraging word cheers us up. It says Proverbs 12:25, worry or anxiety, it weighs a man's or a woman's heart down as well, okay? But a kind word cheers it up. That's something we should be doing, isn't it? Right? If we're looking out for our brothers and our sisters, right? And those who maybe aren't yet brothers and sisters, but, you know, they're on the journey and they're getting close to it, and we're looking out for them as well, then we need to be those who give an encouraging word, right? A good word. We need to look out for others and give them a good word, and that will lift their heart. And I've seen that in my own experience. You know, something just God puts in my heart to say to someone else. And to me, it might be a very small thing, just an encouraging word, maybe even just one word. I remember recently just God put in my heart to say to someone, Jesus loves you. And I thought, that's just a wee bit cheesy and a bit too simple. I was actually hadn't got the courage to do it for a while. But eventually I went over to the person and I just said, you know, God has put it in my heart just to say Jesus loves you. And the change that made in the person and their expression, and it was just what they needed to hear. Just a small, simple word, and it just lifted a whole worry. Okay? And so often that happens if we have something in our heart to say and we know it's from God. Just go and say it, because it can lift someone's worry. It can help someone's week, their month, their whole year. Just a good word. And there's nothing wrong with us going to someone and giving them a word of encouragement. It's a good thing. It's something we should be in the habit of doing. And it's such an easy thing to do. We're all capable of it, okay? So give a good word, because it will lift up the heavy heart. We don't know what's going on in someone else's life, really. We're very good, especially in this part of the world, of covering up what's going on the inside. We can put on a really good show. We can have a facial expression that even looks happy when inside we're just crying out for help and maybe just someone to say hello or say a good word to us. So be encouraged to be an encourager, right? Because when the enemy comes, he will paralyze us with fear if he takes away our heart and distracts our mind, okay? And we're no use in the service of our King Jesus if the enemy has paralyzed us, if we've lost heart, and if our mind is not focused on the things of God. Proverbs 17:22 says this, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart, the joy of the Lord, there's nothing like the joy of the Lord. And to have fun and laughter is just such good medicine. And I don't know about you, but in my experience of a time when my mind wasn't thinking right and my heart was gone, laughter was something I just couldn't find myself doing. And no matter how good the joke was, I couldn't laugh at it, right? So laughter is something that we really need. Laughter is a good medicine. Laughter is something that, you know, really stirs our heart and our soul. And it really blesses us. And the joy of the Lord, there's nothing like the joy of the Lord. Back in the encounter weekend, I was praying with someone. They were praying with me, and I was praying with them. And we just felt led, you know, to ask God to give us joy. And then we felt that we should ask the Lord to give us laughter. And I suppose we shouldn't have been surprised or, you know, wondered why we started laughing. But God gave us laughter, and we laughed. Right, and I nearly haven't really had that experience before, but we asked the Lord for that, and the Lord gave it to us. And what an experience we had together! Just the joy of the Lord, and it gave us strength, and it blessed my heart, and it blessed his heart as well, because God loves to see us joyful, and he loves to stir our hearts and fill our hearts with joy. And a joyful heart is good medicine. It really helps us, doesn't it? It can help us in so many ways. It not only helps our heart and our spirit and our mind, it can lift our mind, but it can help us physically as well. There's just so much truth in that little verse. But the opposite of that just crushes us. It brings us down. And we've all had that experience as well. So how much we need to encourage each other to lift that burden, to lift that anxiety with a kind word, and to give someone else's heart some happiness and joy, particularly the joy of the Lord. The temptation with our heart is to lock it away and protect it ourselves. And I've been there as well, where you lock your heart away and you think, that's not going to happen to me again. But, you know, the heart is like a precious jewel. And if you take a precious jewel and you lock it away in a safe vault somewhere, it might be safe, but it's not actually fulfilling its purpose. And if it doesn't fulfill its purpose, then it can't shine. And can you imagine how sad it would be if someone had a precious diamond and they hid it away forever? Nobody ever saw it. No one ever had the pleasure of seeing it. But it was always hidden away and never was allowed to shine. I'm nearly tempted to sing Shine Bright Like a Diamond, but I'll not do that. Okay. Do you want to join me? It's true, but isn't it? Imagine having a precious diamond, the best ever, okay, and you never let anybody see it, right? You hid it away and you never let it shine. The Bible tells us to shine for Jesus. It tells us that we need to shine our light. Jesus is the light of the world, right? And he shines through us. And my two brothers would tell you better than I can, but a diamond works best when light shines through it in a certain way, right? That's how it shines. It takes the light from another source and it reflects it off all its many faces, right? And that's what makes it give it glory or its precious glow, okay? That's how a diamond works. That's what makes a diamond special. And our heart is like that. God has a special purpose for us. He has given us a heart to shine for him. The danger is we hide it away. When something in life crushes our spirit, we want to hide it away. We want to keep it safe. But can I encourage you today to give it over to Jesus? Allow him to guard your heart and your mind. And he will make something from that that you would never believe. Okay? Take that risk for Jesus. I know it's a risk. I know it's a hard thing. Because we want to guard it. But let it shine for Jesus today. Because he will heal our heart. He will pour in the oil of gladness. He will take away the heartache. He will take away the heaviness. And he'll give us the garments of praise. And you know how he does that? By his peace. So we're saying, I'm going to speak about the peace of God. That's my long introduction. The peace of God. Could you put that verse up again, maybe, that we had at the start? Because that verse says, the peace of God which passes all understanding or surpasses all understanding, right? And we're singing about it this morning as well. That peace that is unthinkable. It just passes all our, we can't actually imagine it. And I believe we need the peace of God more so than ever. We need the peace of God. We need to pray that God's peace will come upon us. We need to pray even now that God's peace will fall. That as we sit here in God's presence and we enjoy his Holy Spirit, that this peace will come and he will bring that peace into our life. Because the peace of God, it just passes all of our understanding. And it will guard our heart. And it will guard our mind. What happens when your mind is in turmoil? You've no peace. Sure you haven't. You can't stop worrying. You can't stop thinking about everything else that's happening around you. When your heart is troubled and when things are going wrong in life, you've no peace. And the wonderful thing about it is that the peace of God is such a wonderful thing and a strange thing that even when life's troubles come right at you and you're right in the thick of it, you can have peace. And it's a peace that you don't even understand. And it's a peace that your friends won't understand either, particularly those that are not saved because they don't know the peace of God. But they'll see it resting over your life and they'll see it resting over your heart. And it's such a wonderful testimony to others to see the peace of God resting in your life. Whenever you think to yourself, how am I going to pay this next bill? You've got a greater peace. Whenever you start thinking about how you're going to do this thing in life, that the next stage, the next thing in your job, or what's going to happen next, and you start to worry about it, God comes and he gives you peace. And it doesn't even make logical sense. It doesn't even make sense to you, because it's a peace that passes all understanding. And it's a peace that will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And I pray today that you will experience that peace. And I believe that God's Holy Spirit this morning can bring that peace to your heart today. And that today and throughout this week, whatever life throws at you this week, that he will keep your heart and he will keep your mind in Christ Jesus. We need to keep our eyes focused on Christ Jesus. And he will bring his perfect peace, his peace that passes all understanding. And I pray that over us all this morning, that we will know the peace of God in our heart and in our mind.